Father, I just thank you and I praise you for tonight. I thank you, Father God, for your awesome presence. Father God, whatever it is that you want us to know tonight, reveal it to us. Whatever it is that's hanging heavy in the atmosphere, Father God, bring it clearly to our mind tonight. We want to know all that you want to show us, Father. And Father God, there are people who are sitting here tonight because they desire to sit at your table. They want to go up higher with you. So, Father, I'm believing and I'm expecting and I'm asking you to do that very thing for them. You said this is a time you would give us our very heart's desire. And, Father God, they want to be changed and rearranged. They want to grow in you. So, Father God, answer that desire of their hearts this night. And, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Each one of you sitting here tonight, you need to understand one thing. God is trying to train you to be a leader. Now, he can't keep wiping your nose. You know, you've got to get it together and either be a leader or don't be a leader. And God's not wishy-washy in anything he's doing. He is a steadfast God. And when you make him a promise, you have to keep that promise. You can't say, well, I'm going to do it later. No, then God's going to bypass you. He just doesn't do that. God is God. And I'm saying that because I said to God, God, why am I in a teaching mode? What is this stuff that you're doing? And he says, I'm training them to be leaders. And, you know, if you aren't kids no more, you aren't little babies walking around with a diaper on to get your nose blowed every second, you've got to get in the ways of God. You must grow up so that God can use you. He can't keep holding back this great revival that he wants to bring because the body of Christ won't. And I'm going to tell you what I told my husband tonight. I said, you know what? I wish everybody would just clear out the church. And I wish God would just fill it up with all the sinners. Because sinners need God. And they would really buckle down and do the things God would want them to do. But the church people have been there so long, they just go to church. That's the truth. They don't want to change. Or if you want to change, then you aren't fighting the thing that's holding you back. And God can't have that. Now, either you want to be a leader, because God told me when I first started, I'm going to send you leaders, no, preachers, ministers. I'm going to send you ministers that you'll train and then send out. And I thought he was going to send me actual reverends in the house of God. He didn't do that. He sent you guys. That he wanted to train and send you out as a minister to minister to the people. And I wasn't being ignorant about that. You know, because the ministers don't, they have whatever they want from God. And so God needed new people. And if you're really reading the emails that are out there, the news, whatever it is, there's so many people dying right now. So many ministers dying right now. And God needs to give their mantles to somebody. And he's looking for the men and women of God that he can pass those mantles to. All right? So tonight we're going to do another teaching about bold lions. Now, and if you're going to sit here and fall asleep, get up and walk around, please. I hate to watch you with your eyes half-masked. So something's not right there. If you're sitting here trying to keep yourself awake, get up and walk around. I'd rather see you do that than sit there sleeping on me. Because that means that God's word is not penetrating to the very core of your spirit. If you can fall asleep while preaching's going on. And I don't think I give you doll stuff. And I'm not one of these preachers that my voice makes you go to sleep. In fact, I think some of you think, just shut up so I can't go to sleep. But really, God is very adamant about, all right, so somebody said something to me yesterday, and I really contemplated that all night and all day today. And I even said it to my husband. I said, you know, I'm getting to the point where I really don't know how to encourage anybody anymore. Because, you know, God has promised, and he's promised, and he's promised, and we don't see no answers to our prayers. But yet the devil's just answering everything that the people bring to him. The devil takes care of his own. He gives them immediate gratification. But then he's taken them to hell, too. But we've been preaching the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And we're not seeing answers to prayer. We're being honest, all right? We're leaders, right? We're grown up and we can accept the truth. We are not seeing the answers to prayer. We're not seeing the glory drop, even though God keeps saying it's coming. And he told me, don't grow weary in saying that. So I'm not grow weary in saying that. But, you know, the body of Christ needs to see some of the prayers answered. You know, our sister left here, came sick and left sick. That bothers me. Come on. You know, we God needs to do something. And are we holding it back? I believe so. I believe the body of Christ is not ready yet to contain the greatness of his glory that he wants to drop. And whenever God shows me something, I tell people what he shows me, they get all bent out of shape. That shows me you still have a diaper on and a bottle in your mouth. Now, if you're going to be a grown-up, see, I'm glad I know why my father taught me the way he did from little up. Because God, you know, you live what's going to be happening. You actually live the spiritual realm, and then God brings it out in the natural. And my father made me always be the leader of 11 children. There was 12 of us. And I always had to be the one to make sure everything was done right. So what did God do? He made me a leader. And I have to make sure that everything's done right. Or my natural father would spank me if I didn't. And so my spiritual father's spanking me too if I don't. He chastens me. Said, you were supposed to tell them this and you didn't tell them that. You see what I'm saying? So I want you to grow up. So if you're going to be a pastor of a church and you need to be grown up, you need to be able to accept whatever God says to you, or you're never going to be able to lead anybody else. You can't have, wear your heart on your sleeve. You just have to know that, be able to somebody tell you the truth, receive that truth, and then grow by it. I don't know about you, but I would rather you tell me the truth than lie to me. I can't deal with a liar. I really can't. That bothers me. All right, so let's get on to this tonight. Bold lions rising up for battle. I didn't say you're a little, what do they call a little lion cub? You're not a cub. You're a bold lion. All right, Bob Jones' vision of the army of God. Most of us agree that we are in a season of great ups and downs in the United States and the nations of the earth, right? We all agree on that, right? Now, that shouldn't make you get all offended. That's the truth. There are great uncertainties in our time, which cause great tensions due to the lack of clarity for the future. Isn't that true? We are in one of the most spiritually pivotal and progressive seasons we've been in for a long time. That is the truth. Everyone can feel the spiritual tectonics. I can't say that word, tectonics. All right. Well, I already said it. Just be quiet. Thank you. No, I was just teasing. Plates ready to give way to a seat. Isn't it nice that everybody can correct my English? That's wonderful. I'm glad I have you all here for that reason. Place ready to give way to a season of the new on many levels, including revival. Everybody knows that God wants to do something brand new in the church. Everybody knows that God wants to bring this great revival. All right? Are we clear on that then? We agree to that. They say that wherever there are great tensions, there is great power and opportunity. The Lord told Bob Jones some years back that there was an army coming forth. Now, see, God's already told us everything I'm going to talk about tonight, all right? The Lord told Bob Jones some years back that there was an army coming forth that would be unstoppable, and every one of you can be stopped at this point. The first would be leaders that were unstoppable, and the second would be the greatest army that nothing could ever stop. Now, this is what God told Bob Jones, all right? And when they reach the age of maturity, God's trying to get you all mature, God said, I'm going to begin to release them in power. Now, you want to know why there's no power? Because you're still not mature enough to be used by God. Now, this might not pertain to everybody. So if it fits, the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just say, well, thank God that you're telling the others they need to grow up. All right? I will arm them out of my armory in heaven. This is God speaking. There is no gift that I will deny them. God just told us that the other night. They will literally pull down the warehouse of God, and they will have no fear of the enemy. They will glorify me beyond anything that has ever been. They will represent me in my holiness and compassion. Now, that's what God said. So, you know, and don't lie to yourself. Please quit lying to yourself. Now, you know whether or not you fit this that God just said. You want to read it again to see if you fit it? God said, There was an army coming forth that would be unstoppable. The first would be leaders, and the second would be the greatest army that nothing could ever stop. And when they reach the age of maturity, I'm going to begin to release them in power. I will arm them out of my armory in heaven. There is no gift that I will deny them. They will literally pull down the warehouse of God, and they will have no fear of the enemy. Some of you still have fear of the enemy. They will glorify me beyond anything that has ever been. They will represent me in my holiness and compassion. Do you represent God in his holiness and compassion? Think about that. The Lord told Bob that this army was the army of God. There is a new people group rising in the earth that is hungry for the glory presence of God. And I can say that everybody in here comes in here is, you fit that group. They are not bound, like much of the prior generations, with the rules and regulations that have crippled, stunted, or killed the postmodern church. This army of God is hungry for the kingdom of power and glory. I want to stop here. Tonight, when I was getting ready, God dropped in my spirit something that I've been wondering for a long time. You know, you better be careful what you do and say to God's prophets and about God's prophets. The Word of God tells you not to touch his prophets, right? And all of a sudden, God dropped something in my spirit, and he said, the reason why that person's been sick all these years and can't get better is because they continually ran you down. And I thought to myself, I know this person, but I am not worth you being sick for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I'm not. I'm not worth you losing out on God. I am not. So leave God's prophets alone. You mind your own business. You do what God's telling you to do. And just let the prophets alone. All right? Come on. Now that really made me sad when God told me that, because that didn't have to be. It did not have to be. Are you listening? The age of maturity in the army of God. When Jesus was about to begin his public ministry, he made his way to the River Jordan where John was baptizing. We know that Jesus is the Word of God, right? For the Scriptures clearly tell us in John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, which was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. And verses 10 and 11 state, he came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him or did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, or to his own, his domain, creation, things, world, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. The body of Christ does not receive God the way they should, and the body of Christ does not welcome him into their hearts the way they should. Now, each one of you in here, you need to understand this. You need to receive Jesus Christ for who he truly is. He is the mighty Son of God. All right? He has all power and all authority. And he's supposed to live inside of us, right? So, stop and think about that. Why can't I receive God, the Jesus, the way he is? Why can't I live the way Jesus lives? Why can't I live holy and pure and have compassion and love? Long-suffering. Why can't I do that? It's because you haven't received him for who he truly is. As a young man growing up, Jesus grew up in favor with both God and man. He was subjected to his mother Mary and Joseph as long as he was underage. He was still a son, you know, of God, but was under the guidance of another and directly responsible to his guardians. He had to listen to Joseph and Mary, even though he was a son of God. Do you think maybe that's the reason why kids, little young kids and middle-aged kids are going through the trauma they're going through is because they have no respect for their parents? And the Word of God speaks about that, right? So y'all tell your kids that. Get the little scripture out and tell your kids about that. And say, this is why you're going through what you're going, because you won't respect me. You know, kids. I mean, your parents. The Greek word for son, S-O-N, here is called T-E-K-N-O-N, which is a relationship formed between people by the bonds of love, friendship, and trust, just as between parents and children. It is used in an affectionate address by patrons, helpers, teachers, as if they were saying, my child. Pupils and disciples are called children of their teachers. because the latter, by their instruction, nourish the minds of their pupils and mold their character. See, this is what we're supposed to be doing as parents. You just don't have a bunch of kids and set them in a corner somewhere and say, you do your own thing while I go do my thing. No, you're supposed to be there bringing them up in the ways of the Lord, training and teaching them how they should behave, right? But if you aren't really parents, and you know what by that I mean, you never learn how to be a parent, a true parent, and so you don't really know how to bring up your kids, or your kids are going to be brought up just like you were brought up with no supervision, and they will be uncontrolled, ruling children. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus listened to Mary and Joseph, and he was brought up properly. This was the relationship with Jesus and his mother Mary at the wedding feast in Galilee. In other words, he listened to her. They ran out of wine, and Mary told him to do something about it. He told her very plainly that it was not his time yet. Isn't that what Scripture tells us? Then, realizing that it was about to be his time of introduction to the world, she told the servants, whatever he says to you, just do it. The time was at hand for Jesus' public ministry to begin. Shortly after the miracle in Galilee, he found himself at the River Jordan where John was baptizing. That's in Mark 1, 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, at once he, John, saw the heavens torn open and the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter into him. And there came a voice out from the within heaven, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, I always think, God, why couldn't you have done that when he was baptized? You're my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. And wouldn't that have been wonderful? That would change so many way people walk. But we walk by faith and not by sight, right? And then we're not Jesus either. The Greek word used here is as son, S-O-N, is the word H-U-I-O-S, which means mature or fully grown. I'm going to learn how to pronounce that because I'm going to look at y'all and say, R-U-H-U-I-O-S. When Jesus stepped down into the Jordan River, he did so as the word of God, but yet as a son. Okay? Through the waters of baptism, he rose up, and John saw the heavens torn open and the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter into him and rest upon him. So the Holy Spirit comes in and rests upon, right? And there came a validating voice out of heaven saying, you are my beloved son, which is H-U-I-O-S, mature one. In you, I am well pleased. There is a fully mature army of God coming of age in this season in preparation for one of the greatest revivals to ever sweep the world. There is a fully mature army of God, that H-U-I-O-S maturity. Like Jesus, they are reaching an age of maturity, being baptized with both word and the Spirit. We've had many incredible moves of God in our day that have impacted cities, states, regions, and even nations. But there is coming a mature family of sons on the earth, a glory generation, that's y'all if you just go ahead and let God mature you, that will be so filled with the Word and Spirit of God, it will usher in the greatest revival and harvest the world will ever see, which will ultimately usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a wonderful thing that God's trying to get us into that state where we can usher in. And I do know that he is going to use this generation to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I was reading an article Billy Graham wrote where he said, no, I don't know if it was him or not, I read two articles together. So one of the people that I read said that the younger generation of ministers are not doing it right because they have the attitude, let anything can go type thing. And so this younger generation has not been trained up properly, and so they're out there making a mess of the churches. Just as the church won't yield to God and do what God wants them to do, the younger generation's out there just hopped on the bandwagon is doing their own thing, and that's why you see so many crazy things going on. And it isn't God. And we have to understand that's crazy things. It's not God. You have to be mature in your mind and in your spirit. I would say in your spirit first. If your spirit man is mature, your mind's going to be mature. And then you have to be able to hear the voice of God and listen to what God is telling you. And then God will send you forth. And then you have to act it out. You act out the maturity out. And then God will send you forth to do the mighty works he wants you to do. All right? Word and spirit, two distinct moves of God. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied in 1947 that the great revival would take place when two conditions were met. I want to quote this, his word in its entirety here in the following paragraphs. This is what Smith Wigglesworth had to say. During the next few decades, there will be two distinct moves of the Holy Spirit across the church in Great Britain. The first move will affect every church that is open to receive it and will be characterized by a restoration of the baptism and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then God can't use you. The second move of the Holy Spirit will result in people leaving historic churches and planting new churches. We see that happening. In the duration of each of these moves, the people who are involved will say, "This is the great revival." But the Lord says, "No, neither is this the great revival, but both are steps toward it." And see, when God called me in 1977, he put me right into revival in the church, and I thought that was it. But he said, "No, that wasn't it." He said, don't want what you used to have, because what I'm taking you into is far greater. So I'm in this category here when I first started where we thought it was the great revival, but it wasn't. All right? When the new church phase is on the wane, there will be evidenced in the church as something that has not been seen before, a coming together of those with an emphasis on the Word and those with an emphasis on the Spirit. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be the biggest movement of the Holy Spirit that the nation and indeed the world has ever seen. It will mark the beginning of a revival that will eclipse anything that has been witnessed within these shores, even the Wesleyan and the Welsh revivals of former years. The outpouring of God's Spirit will flow over from the United Kingdom to the mainland of Europe, and from there will begin a missionary move to the ends of the earth. Smith prophesied this in 1947. Since then, we've seen the 1948 Latter-day Rain revival, the 1950s revival that swept the world, the charismatic renewal of the 1970s, Toronto Blessing of the 1990s, the Brownsville revival, the Smithson outpouring, and the Lakeland outpourings. This next move of God will be an outpouring of the very presence of God manifest in and through a Word and Spirit people. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick and tired of waiting on it. I just wish we would become a people of God where we are mature enough to go ahead and for God to go ahead and use us, and where the enemy can't stop the flow. This disunity and this offense is what's stopping the flow of the Spirit. God cannot and will not operate in that kind of an atmosphere. We have to be, you know, why don't you get unity going on in your home and love, and then you can bring that unity and love into the house of God. Then we can operate as one large body. Nobody worrying about, oh, well, they're getting more attention time, or I should be doing what they're doing, and this and that. Yeah, that's a bunch of junk. We'll just go ahead and all work together and let God go ahead and move. If you say, well, I'm sick and tired of people not being healed, well, then why don't you become a part of the real church? Why are you still causing disunity? And why are you still walking in offense? You really don't want it, or you wouldn't be doing that. These words are come from your lips and not from your spirit. It's the reason why people, when they walk through the door aren't thrown out in the spirit and instantly changed. That's why it used to be when I first started in the 70s, beginning of the 80s is when I really started. People walked through the door and couldn't. We had to drag them out of the doorway. And it was because then the church was in total and complete unity. People didn't care who did what. Like, when we always had revival in here. And one Sunday, I walked in here, they said, "Here she comes." And I walked past there, and I said, "No." They said, "Let's get her, let's get her." I said, "These are my ushers. These are my deacons. We had such a loving relationship, they could treat me like that." I said, no, don't touch me, don't touch me." But then they said, "Gotcha." And I was out in the spirit, laying back there on the floor. But there was so much love in here and so much unity. And nobody cared about what anybody else did. You just worked together. "Well, I'm the head of the deliverance ministry." Get out of here, you devil. I'm the best usher in town. No, you're not. Come on. That isn't God. You know, so I'm laying on the floor and, you know, I could still hear what was going on. I said, God, who's going to preach? He said, don't worry about it. I got it. And he touched one of the guys in there, and they jumped up, and they was holding a little baby, and they started preaching and took the little baby around, God knowing that baby, and that baby's touching everybody. Everybody's going out in the spirit. They just had a spirit-filled time. I said, here I lay, Lord, and I can't even get up. And they're all enjoying it. He said, just enjoy yourself laying there. You know, powerful, powerful moves of God every time we met. And we had one revival after another, and I heard somebody say, oh, she's having another revival. We just got over one. Well, go on, bye. Because you don't want what I want. God said we're going to be in the house 24/7. So you can't even do two revivals, one the end of the year and one the beginning of the year. Get out of here. You're not ready. You're not mature. We can't do our work. Well, I can't do mine either, but I'm studying. I'm here. You understand what I'm saying? You're putting your life first and God second. You're putting your little needs, your little sleeping and everything first, or whatever you want to do, and you're putting God second. You're not mature enough yet. Come on. I'm not really beating you up tonight. I'm trying to get you to be mature so God can bring the revival in this area, because he's always told me he wanted to use the Lighthouse Church to start revival, and that's why I get upset. And then he wants to use us when the lower Delaware and the Delmarva area. So he just doesn't want to do it here. He wants to spread it all out. And I'm really tired of waiting. I really am. I want you all to grow up tonight. Take your diaper off and throw it out there in the trash can as you go. And your baby bottle, put it out there in the trash can. And we'll throw it in the big trash can. And then you won't ever pick it up ever again, will you? No. Not where I'm at. It will result. Where I said this next move of God will be an outpouring of the very presence of God manifest in and through a word and spirit-filled people. I'm going to tell you guys, you see, you don't understand why I'm so upset. Because if you've ever been in revival, if you've ever been where the Spirit of God is moving 24/7, you'll think this is dead. But we're doing, y'all, oh, we had a wonderful move of God. Well, big whoop. I mean, we really did. And God did a great anointing in you, but you just don't understand where I came from. And this is nothing to me. See, God threw me right. I was anointed from right up front. Didn't know it, but that's the truth of it. And this is really wearing me out. And you know, coming into church, and same old thing. We shouldn't be doing that. And you shouldn't want to do that either. You should be so unfair. God, when I walk through those doors, I want lightning and thunder. You know, and I want you to hit me where I'm just out for 10 hours. Amen? Come on. All right, so it will result in global harvest and evangelism with corporate miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Never witnessed before. He's been telling us the things he's going to take us into, nobody's ever seen in the church. But I guess you really don't care enough to really want that to happen, because you're still not growing up, you're still not mature. This will happen in and through a corporately anointed body of Christ on the earth, filled with the word and spirit. Read that again. This will happen in and through a corporately anointed body of Christ on the earth, filled with the word and spirit. The church is waking up. I hope so. It's time for the dread champions to arise. And that's y'all. I've been saying for God for a long time, but God, the word isn't doing it. So you're going to have to come in your glory. I was reading Jay Bartlett, and, you know, Jesus and the angels show up, and they do all the deliverances. Do Jesus and the angels show up and do all your deliverances? No. They might help you, but you aren't seeing the miracles he's seeing, and now they don't even have enough room in the auditoriums that they're renting. I would say it was a powerful anointing they have. At first, he couldn't even get started. Now, he can't rent a big enough room. God said he wants to fill this room up. Well, I haven't seen it filled up yet. When it's filled up, it means you don't have any place else to sit. And you have to sit out in the lobby. That's what it used to be. We had to put chairs up here. That's filled to me. Well, I'm going to look for a building for you. And don't bother. Because God said when this building's filled up, then he'll move me out. What you should be looking for is the chairs all filled. I mean, I follow what God tells me. He said he's going to fill this place up first, but he can't fill this place up till you guys come here all the time, get mature. Lost my place again. God is waking up. Is that where I'm at? God is waking up the trees of the Lazarus generation, who will be an army of mighty ones on the earth that will overthrow spiritual darkness. They are known as the dread champions of God. You know, I was telling them this today that little Isaiah, you know, bless the little heart, was born with spirits, and he still has spirits, and I'm still trying to get the spirits out of him. But today, they was really acting up, so I said, I laid him down in the bed, and boy, I was really doing deliverance, and that thing was laughing at me, laughed and laughed and laughed, and I got mad. I said, in the name of Jesus, you'll come out of there. And boy, he started crying, no, 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 you know, the spirit, no, 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 no. And then finally, he just gave a great big burp and just collapsed on the bed. I said, I'm not quitting till you leave. Not going to sit here and laugh at me, you dumb thing. I really got angry. Now I'm thinking to myself, now I'm angry. Will this thing come out with me being angry? But he came out. I just was mad enough. I wasn't going to quit until it came out. Because it's a shame. You're not working through this child of God's body. You're not going to keep us all tore up over this thing. You're not using him like this. He's a precious baby. See, now I'm not going to let him just lay around. You let that devil just run through my house. He's only two, but he's two full of devils. Doesn't matter if he's two or 22, there's still devils in there that are harassing and causing the whole house to live in a nightmare. Somebody's got to get him out of there. Well, I guess I go find a deliverance minister. No, you're a deliverance minister. Take authority over those things and make them come out in Jesus' name. You have authority. You have power. At least you say you do. I'm going to start a church, but I'm going to go find somebody else to deliver my people. Get out of here. Every church is a deliverance ministry, so always remember that. All right, a new breed of spiritual superheroes. There is a new breed of superheroes coming to the forefront. They look like no other generation. That doesn't mean the way you dress either. They are the dread champions of God. These men and women will in many ways be like King David's mighty men who move with supernatural dimensions that the world has never seen. Are you listening? These men and women will be in many ways be like King David's mighty men who move with supernatural dimensions that the world has never seen. Wow. God said he was going to send me in. He said I was like David, had everybody nobody else wanted. So I must be doing something wrong because I don't see. It says here, like David's mighty men who move with supernatural dimensions that the world has never seen. I don't see y'all doing that. So I'm going to go back to the drawing board and I might bring out a bigger whip. Come on. David whipped his men into an army, a mighty army. And all I do is I just keep whipping you out the door. You only let me train you so much, I'm done with her, out I go. Are you understanding this? I just caught that. Should have caught it at home. I wouldn't be so excited. The church won't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with y'all. Amen. Many of these will be unknown. You're all unknown at this time. Nobody knows you exist. Many of these will be unknown champions in the glory and know the very presence of God. God's trying to get you all to know his presence. Jeremiah 20:11 reveals more about them. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed. The enemy should fail at every attempt he has at trying to destroy us. Are you listening? Do you hear the battle alarm? Do you hear it? It's ringing loud and clear. We have entered a very serious season, a season of confrontation. Our lukewarm business as usual attitude must die. Oh, well, it's Sunday. We're going to go to church. Let's see what God does. That's the attitude of the church. Well, I bought a brand new dress and hat, and I can't wait till Sunday so I can show it off. No, you don't wait till Sunday to show off your dress and hat. You can wait till Sunday so you see Jesus and see how much power and authority he's going to manifest in the church that day. The Spirit of God is awakening and arousing the church. Are you guys getting awake yet? This says the Spirit of God is awakening and arousing the church, prompting her to arise and take a strong stand for divine truth. The war is raging and we must prepare for battle. A young man sitting back like, See, the Spirit of God should be so strong in here that he can't even do nothing but lay on the floor and just kick and scream. Amen? Come on. We are champions because we have overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are the dread champions because we consider not our lives unto death. And see, all we can think about, I didn't get enough sleep, Lord. Don't wake me up again. Well, after all, it's supper time, I have to go eat. Oh, you want me to do deliverance? Another deliverance? I just did too. Come on. It says here, we are the dread champions because we consider not our lives unto death. This level of radical obedience produces believers who will truly follow the Lamb wherever he goes, no matter what the consequences. I just can't do a deliverance because after all, I have to go pick up Rachel. God, you're just going to have, that devil's going to stay in that person. Do I go pick up Rachel? Because Rachel comes first. I'm just trying to let you see what God's trying to let you, trying to get you to do. You have to put him first. I'm saying, God, please free me up from this baby so I can go back and do the work I have to do. All right, so all day long, he just ripped and tears through the house. He's tearing. I pick up one thing, he's tearing something else down. So that means I have to, when I get him in bed at night, which is 12 o'clock, because he didn't go to bed till 12 o'clock, he just won't. Then after I get in bed, then I have to get out of the bed, because I have to go to bed with him. Then I have to go and do everything I have to do all night long, because during the day, I can't do anything, because I'm continually trying to keep him out of tearing my house apart. I have to do what I have to do. I have to stay up all night to get it done. And so I didn't get all my studying done because I was desperately tired last night and just could not get back out of bed after going to sleep. So I had to work all day long in between running after him and, you know, and get this done. I couldn't say, God, you know, I can't go and preach because after all, you didn't give me enough time to get my lesson together. I have to take care of the house, the child, really. And then I clean house. The guy do my house too. Nobody else does it for me. But and then I also have to study and pray. And people call, have you heard from God? Are you kidding? I'm listening continually for God about anything. Are you listening? Don't come to me and tell me I got 10 kids and that. Hey, you went into the bed. I didn't. All right. I didn't ask for what I got. I just got them. All right, the word heroism speaks of bravery and fearlessness. Hear this? The word heroism, I won't say that again, I promise. The word heroism speaks of bravery and fearlessness. How brave are we? How fearless are we? Heroes fight not for themselves, listening, but for their king's honor, their country's honor, a greater honor than their own acclaim. The body of Christ is still not fighting for the right reason. We're not fighting for Jesus' kingdom to be shown here on earth. We're not. Don't say you are. The church is. I'm not saying everybody now. All right? I'm saying the church as a whole. These qualities of selfless valor are not born of the flesh. However, we cannot exert our own will and abilities to become a dread champion. It has to be through the Spirit. And the only way it's going to be through the Spirit is we spend time with the Father. You can still be doing everything you're doing just like I do and still be with the Father. You know, talking to God all the time and just listening continually and praying. Because we have to go on with life. God told me one time, you have to still go on with life. You know, when I was first born again, I was probably like everyone. You, I dropped all my insurances. I wanted to quit my job, did all that kind of stuff. And God said, no, you have to go on with life and still serve me. Amen? Come on. But then when he asked me to quit my job, I said, I really don't want to, Lord, because I'm really living high in the hog. I had to go to paycheck. All right? All right. On the contrary, our heroism is in direct proportion to our yielding to Christ. The one true hero. Only as we yield to the Holy Spirit will we be equipped to display these outstanding qualities of God's champions. Only as we yield to the Holy Spirit will we be equipped to display these outstanding qualities of God's champions. Did you get that in your spirit? Come on. The keepers of the flame are bold as a lion. Are you listening to that? You can't be a wimp. You can't say, well, that doesn't work. That's what the devil wants you to do, isn't it? Stand there and whimper and complain. Scripture declares, I'm terrible with the kids at home. If you're going to talk, talk. Don't sit there and whine. I can't stand a whiner. Can you stand a whiner? I'm out there studying. One of our children whines. Their voice is one of those whiny voices. I can't concentrate. I'll say, make them be quiet. I really can't concentrate because I cannot stand a whining voice. My father slapped that into me. If you're going to talk, you talk. Don't you whine. And I followed that example. I'm a good example, aren't I, Mr. King? Like Lynch, I mean. I tell the kids, stop that. If you're going to talk, talk. Don't you hate a Christian walks up to you? They don't really tell you what they're going to say. They stand there and whine at you. Come on. We're grown-ups. What are you afraid of? Just say what you have to say. I'll say, will you just tell me what you want to say? Because I know you're scared to say what you're going to say. Just say it. And how are you going to come boldly to God if you can't come boldly to another human being? Well, I don't have to look at his face. But you're still going to feel his wrath. Come on, I have to face that person. Little Trinity tonight, I was trying to watch Isaiah because the devil was manifesting in, and I was trying to watch him and keep that thing bound. And so I had to look at her, because he was with her. And so she just kept pushing the chair back further and further and further so she couldn't see my face. So I got up and turned around and pushed her chair back up again. I said, devil, I'm not dealing with that either. So that devil in her didn't want to face me. I mean, this is the truth. Do you really watch what goes on around your life? You just can't exist. You have to see what's going on around about you. And so, I've told Isaiah, no. And Larry looked at me. I said, the devil's manifesting. He's not going to do that here. Some people just are around oblivious of everything that's going on around about him. And that's why the enemy can eat you alive. You don't even see he's even there. Because if you shut your eyes to things, you don't have to confront them. Right? And then they'll go away. No, they don't. They get bigger and bigger and bigger. How many of you has God ever told you to tell somebody something? And everything was peaceful. I really don't unrock the boot. So 2 years down the road, Dad, that thing that you'd unrock the boat about is about the biggest mountain you ever want to face. And now you really got a problem on your hands. That happens to me a couple times. And God said, if you only done it when I told you to, you wouldn't have this big problem you're facing right now today. So I'm telling you today, if you're going to be a leader, you've got to face the problem, get it out in the open, and get it done with. You can come to me with whatever you want to say to me. That's fine. I don't have to listen to you. No, you can come to me, and I'll tell you what I think about it. Ask some of the staff if I don't do that. Isn't that what I do? Just tell you flat what I think about it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, I'll have to think about that. Amen? I lost my place again. Scripture declares in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. It is time to arise and shine. We must not let the light of our hearts grow dim, but we are to be a shining beacon of hope and love, radiating God brightly in a sin-darkened world. Read Matthew 5:14-16. We are supposed to be a light in a dark, dark place, but we're not. We're not. If our light is to remain bright, however, we must rally now. Now we must embrace the call to become keepers of the flame and defend the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, God told me to take somebody into my home. I did. And he said, just be a short season. And then I found out the reason why was because God wanted to give him a chance to clean up. Well, then I found out after, 2 months or however long I had the person in my home, that they got deeper into drugs, had needles in my home, had crack in my home, had all kind of drugs in my home. I have to pretend, if a police would have come in there, I'd have lost my home, I'd have lost my small children. And so I told him he had to go. Well, he left. He would leave and come back and leave and come back. And we're not a flop house. And so I told him, you can't, I sent word. I said, I don't know where he was going. I said, he can't come back anywhere. Well, what do you mean I can't come back? Just what I said, you can't come back. Because you brought your drugs into my home. And if I would have been raided for any reason whatsoever, a police would come, a social service come there. Needles everywhere we found when we packed this stuff. I couldn't believe it. How dare you put me in trouble like that? You see what I'm saying? I still feel bad because they don't have no place to go, but that's not my problem. God gave them a home and they abused it. And I'm not losing my home for nobody. I'm sorry, I fought too hard to keep that thing. It's not much. It really isn't. But it's my home. Are you realizing what I'm saying here? There does come a time when God said enough is enough. All right, now we must embrace the call to become keepers of the flame and defend the fire of the Holy Spirit. This is who you are now, beloved. You are a people of burning passion, I hope, standing strong and filled with true conviction, never cowering, no matter what the persecution or attack. Doesn't matter what the enemy brings your way, you've got to stand as bold as a lion. Although we are observing an all-out attack to undermine the foundation of the church and our nation, you are called to burn brightly with passionate love and radical obedience, true to the King. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in your home. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you. You have to stand tall and bold, and your light has to shine through the darkness. Some of you need to keep your mouth shut, though, until God tells you to open it. We can still be a bright light and not be running our mouths off. Right? We can. You probably think I'm running my mouth all the time at home, but I really don't. In fact, my husband said, why do you sit there and be quiet and don't say nothing? I only talk when God tells me to. Some people shout and run their mouth whenever it's because their flesh is tired. And when I say, God, I just can't deal with this anymore. Yes, you can. Your flesh just doesn't want to. So start thinking, does it mean, is it my flesh that's upset here? Are you listening? This is a call of the dread champions of God. The super shift and the unlocking of kingdom mysteries. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says that the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel should do. Years ago, I heard people talk about the sons of Issachar, that God was trying to birth the sons of Issachar and couldn't. The person you talked about the other day that had cancer, she brought that over and over and over again. She was a prophet. She is a prophet. But he was trying at that time, years ago, trying to birth the sons of Issachar, and he couldn't. And he's still trying to birth them. And those sons of Issachar had understanding of the times to know what Israel should do. In other words, you should have an understanding of your life to know what God wants you to do at every given moment. Are you listening? The sons of Issachar were men who had a revelation of the times and seasons, who knew what God was saying and were able to communicate this to the house of Israel. God has said he wanted the body of Christ to know what he wants to take you to heaven, reveal to you what's going to go on so you can come down and show the people, tell the people on the earth. That's what he's trying to do. We already know that we are moving into a super shift in the body of Christ that will unlock mysteries to the kingdom of God in ways the church has never seen before. And we know that God's been telling us that. Just as the heavens declared the coming of Jesus Christ, he was the last Adam that would come and be the firstborn among many brothers. Even so, the church of Jesus Christ is being prepared to usher in a second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with incredible miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. That's what this is all about. We are like John the Baptist. We are forerunners to usher in the second coming of Jesus. John the Baptist was a forerunner that brought that paved the way for the first coming of Jesus. And now this is what God told me when we first started the church. And he has not changed his mind. So I'm trying to get you guys whipped into shape so you would understand you are forerunners going forth with signs and wonders and miracles to usher in the second coming of Jesus. Are you listening? When Sister Barbara goes out there and she's selling a house, wouldn't it be wonderful if God performed a great miracle, thunder and lightning, and opened up heaven and said, hello down there, and, you know, got the people's attention. Why? Because she's so full of the Spirit of God that God could do that. Are you understanding that? I don't know what you do. You motivate people to do something. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you was in there doing whatever you do and all of a sudden God appeared and said, hello. I'm God. This is my son. You. This is my son. And then the glory of God fills the room and everybody's playing out in the spirit. If they're sick, they're healed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what God is trying to do. Come on. Where am I at? God has spoken. God has spoken and said that we are in a place in human history in which great mysteries are being revealed by revelation knowledge. We need to get it in our spirit that the blinders that have been upon the corporate church will no longer be able to work their obstruction. In other words, God's taken off those blinders that we've had where all we can do is look straight ahead at the problem and never see God's complete picture. Because revelation understanding will propel the church forward. She will know the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, you guys are on drugs. Big whoop. Where are you going with your drugs? Nowhere. But if you get to, all right, so it makes you high and you see whoopee things and your head spins. Well, wonderful. What happens when you come down? Run to the bathroom. I'm sick. I need another fix. But when you get to full the fire of the Holy Spirit, He'll put you on a high that will make you want to wish you was even higher in Christ. And He'll bring great signs, wonders, and miracles. You don't get sick afterwards either. You just want more of Him, right?
Yes.
The heavens are declaring this super shift now. And we are going to witness a coming forth of an anointed people group that move in the upper realms of revelation and power, being prepared to bring in a billion soul harvest. Now, remember God said to us years ago, get in the river now, because whenever it really does flow, you're going to want to get in and you won't be able to. So if you know, God's been trying to get you to get in the river of His power, and if you haven't gotten in there yet, what if He brought us glory tonight? If you haven't gotten in the river, you're done. You're going to sit there and say, oh, what just happened? I want part of it too. No, you had your chance. You didn't take it. God's telling me many times, nobody's going to ride on your shirt tail. And a lot of people think they can do that. Oh, I'll get in that anointed church and I'll just ride on their shirt tail. No, you won't. You're going to have to, we're in a dispensation right now. You're going to have to get yourself your own relationship with God. And you're going to have to carry your own anointing from God. You can't get somebody else's. Amen. This army, is that where I'm at? Yeah. This army will not do this by conventional means, but by a new breed of superhuman ability looking just like Jesus Christ. God's been trying to get us to look like His Son ever since I've been born again in 77. Jesus paid the ultimate price in blood to produce from seed form what will be revealed as a mature bride that has grown and developed throughout the last 2,000 years. God's been trying for 2,000 years to get us to be grown up. That's a long time, isn't it? He is the firstborn among many brothers or those who look like the original seed, which is Jesus. And this company will do the same miracles and greater to reveal the true nature of God in the earth. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we do greater things than Jesus did? It's not so we can brag. It's so that we're fulfilling prophecy. We're fulfilling what He wrote in the Word. We're one of those who died to self. All right, the billion soul mandate. It is clear there is a great harvest of souls coming in. This harvest will be brought in by a supernatural generation that has been thoroughly prepared for harvest. I've been really trying to prepare you guys. I wear myself out. How long has God been telling us we need to walk in the supernatural? A long time. He's been trying to prepare us for the supernatural, be part of the supernatural generation. This many-membered, corporately anointed body of Christ will do the same miracles Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Maybe you don't care about miracles. That's fine. Then you sit and watch everybody else do it. I don't care. But the ones who really want to be used by God, then you're going to have to move. You're going to have your being in Jesus Christ. You're going to have to get your own intimate relationship with Him. And you're just going to have to let God just fill you full of His glory. When I was first born again, the churches I went into didn't even know about moving of the Spirit. They had signed up Spirit-filled church, but when you got in there was no Spirit moving anywhere. And when God was working through me and I was dumb and didn't know nothing, they made me sit down and shut up. Or kick me out of the church. Well, it didn't matter to them. We just wanted to get rid of me. Are you listening? But, you know, they might do the very same thing to you, but who cares? As long as the Spirit of God is moving in you. Who cares who likes you and who doesn't like you? You're going to have to get cows and say, I don't care if you like me or not. I'm going to do what God's telling me to do, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lay my hands on sick. They are going to recover. I'm going to pray for the dead. They are going to be raised up. You know, whatever. I'm going to do what God's word said. I could do the same things Jesus did in greater works. Now, you have to get that in your spirit. I am a supernatural child of God. From now on, I'm a supernatural child. I'm just not a child of God. I'm a supernatural child of God. This many-membered, corporately anointed body of Christ, I did say that, didn't I? We are his body, and he will reap the reward to his suffering. We are his body, and he will reap the reward to his suffering. Jesus Christ suffered, I hope, not in vain. I hope his suffering really produces what it was meant to do, and that is a group of supernatural beings who will go forth and do the same works that Jesus did in greater works. Every place he did, miracles happened. Every place. There was no place he went that miracles didn't happen. You know, and this is what's wrong with me, because that's how God worked through me. Every place I went, something supernatural happened. And you know, if you get a lot of old folks in an old folks home, they're rowdy. You ever notice that? And so, see, whenever I first got saved, I had my group going everywhere, doing everything. And we went to the, over in Maryland, I think it was, or close to Maryland, went to an old folks home over there. And when I got it all set up, I used to always call and get a set up to go everywhere. And they said, are you sure you want to do it? Oh, yeah, we want to come and preach to the old people. Nobody was doing it at that time. And so they got, you'll be sorry, they said. So they got them all in this, they filled this room up with the old people, didn't they? And so they just shut the door and, see, and God was there. And then people sat there and didn't say a word. And the nurses would come and look in the window. And after we was all done, she said, what did you do to them? They're never quiet. And they sat still all that time. Because then I can go on and on, you know. I didn't just do a 15-minute little thing, right? But see, God showed up every place we went. This is what God wants to do with you guys tonight. Every place you go, he wants to go with you and show up with signs, wonders, and miracles. You won't know unless people talk to you, but I was in the grocery store and I went by this woman and she said, ma'am, I said, yes. She said, what'd you just do to me? I said, nothing. She said, yes, you did, because I just got healed. See, just by walking by her, the anointing, the supernatural anointing it was in, reached over and healed her. This is where God wants to take you. Do you want to go there? Yeah. Then you're going to have to quit being a baby. You're going to have thick skin and not thin skin. You're going to have an intimate relationship with the Father. Let me finish this last paragraph here. The Lord will roar out of Zion and the harvest will come in. He's going to use somebody. He said he's going to clean up the world. If the church doesn't want him, he'll go to the world. God has been telling us forever to get ready, for this is the season. Now is the time, and we are the generation through which the Lord Jesus Christ will release the furious sound of his glory. Now, either you believe that or you don't. Either you want to walk in all the power of God or you don't. I am not some crazy lunatic up here shouting out at you. I know what God can do, and I know what he's not doing now, and I know what he wants to do. Ethan's little girl, it just drives me to distraction that she was not healed every time. He had so much faith. But it wasn't yet, just like Jesus said with water into wine, it wasn't just yet time. You know, it just wasn't yet, but the time is coming. And I'm hearing God saying, now is. When I want to use my people in great signs, wonders, and miracles. Will you just die to your stupid flesh and just go ahead and receive all God wants for you? You'll find out you'll be so much more happier than you are tonight. I guarantee you, you will. Because when God starts working through you, just every day is just a wonderful joy. You just don't want to go to sleep at night. I never really wanted to go to sleep because I was afraid I was going to miss something God was going to do. Or, you know, or miss him talking to me or something. You know, this is where God's at. God's saying, I have arrived. Are you going to come and greet me?